Blog Talk Radio.
Stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. Here once again, I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2915. That's 2915. 2915. That's an awful lot of shows. And tonight we're going to be talking about a lot of things, and it has to do with online predators. I have an awful lot of information on that, and I've been asked a lot of times to speak about it. So tonight I'm going to speak about it. Okay, I'm Carol Levine. I'm Vice President of NASCA. 617 area code, who am I speaking to?
This is Ms. Nancy. How are you?
Hi, Nancy. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are
That's
you?
Great. Oh, I'm hanging in there. Yeah, I'm just hanging, but I'm here. All right. So anyway, let me read the mission statement. And then I'll explain what I'm going to talk to about tonight. I think Bill is going to be coming on. He had mentioned earlier that he was going to. Michelle Kant, she's in was somewhere in the hospital tonight. So, but anyway, the maybe you should do it. I think you should run the show. That's what I think. Okay, this is the NASCA mission statement. We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA, and that's to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so two different ways, okay? Okay. Number one is educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. And it does affect everyone. Number two, offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Now, you always hear me sort of like say that differently than the way I read the statement. And the reason is because prevention is something that we can all do. Yes, we can. And we can all become involved with intervention, too, if we know how to. Okay? And recovery is something that we, the survivors, are on our healing journey to do. Okay? The healing recovery journey. With prevention, if we speak to our children, talk to our children, and, you know, get them to understand that we don't live in an innocent world without scaring them. There's certain ways to speak to children, okay? And we have all this information on our NASCA website. If you go to our NASCA website and open up those red blocks, there's a, I call them blocks, there's an awful lot of information about an awful lot of different topics. And one is prevention and intervention, and it tells you how to speak to your children, what to say, what not to say, what are proper ages, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and also to do role-playing, because, you see, the parents have to be educated first before they can speak to their children. And, you know, so many parents, when we speak about taboo in their mission statement, a lot of times that has something to do with the parents because they're so bashful about speaking about, you know, the body parts and all this other stuff. that is just not doing your child a service at all. It's a disservice. And they have a right to know what their body parts are called, okay? And I could tell you why. Now, if you say you have your head, you have your nose, you have your shoulders, you have your breasts, you have your tummy, you have your vagina or your penis if you're a little boy, and your legs and your feet, you say it all in the same, you say it all in the same tone. You don't call a cookie for a little girl. you don't call a little boy's penis a hot dog or whatever people call it. I don't know. I don't know. But the point is, you see, if you do that, the kids don't know how to speak to you if someone approaches them. Okay. They need to know that mommy and daddy care enough about them that they are going to discuss their body parts. And when they get a little older, you talk to them about the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is one way that we can help keep our children safer. And that's so important. Because if we don't teach them, they're going to learn another way. Okay? That could be from, that can be predators out on the street. I sent an article to Bill a few years ago now, maybe 4 years ago, about the predators written by actually people who went and molested and raped children who were, they're being held in-house, okay? I won't say inpatient, maybe it's similar to that. And they wrote up a whole article on what to watch out for when it comes to that type of thing, when you come to predators, all right? And the pedophiles, pedophilia, how they feel, how they operate, how they groom children, what their prey is. The whole 9 yards, they were very honest about it. And then after the article was written, the place got burnt down. So I don't know if they did it or somebody else did it. Yeah. But that information is right on. It is right on our website. And I believe it's on the predators. We have a 317 area code. Who am I speaking to? Oops, they disappeared. Okay, we have Bill, our founder. He's here. I'm glad of that. I'm going to open up his mic, too. Hold on a second. All right, sometimes people... Yeah, you know what it is? I've got Nancy. All right, she's here. But anyway...
617.
Yes,
this is Nancy.
Yeah.
She's the 617 number.
Oh, I see. When you came on, it went down. Yeah.
Michelle.
Oh, you know what? Michelle is here. She is here. We're going to have a nice panel here tonight. This is good. Let me open this up. Let me open her up. Okay, hold on.
I got it, Carol.
Yeah. Okay, well, she's here. And, hey, Michelle, how you doing? I was afraid you wouldn't be able to make it tonight. Everything's okay, I hope.
Well, yeah, he ended up having a... Well, hello, everybody. I was at the emergency room from 11 a.m. until 6 o'clock, 2 hours ago at home. I'm a little tired, but I still wanted to come on the show, so I'll listen to see what you guys are talking about.
Okay. That sounds good to me. We're always glad when you hear Michelle, too, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of support going on, and that's good. Okay, so we can all, you know, converse about and talk about what we're going to be talking about tonight. It's quite simple. It's not simple. It's tragic because, you know, a lot of our kids go disappearing, and there's a reason for it. It's not always, you know, neglect of parents, but it's lack of education of parents. And that has to do with the computer, all right? So I have here articles that I put together, and it's called Deep Dive, and this is through the FBI. And they estimate that there are 500,000 online predators in our country daily. Not yearly, not monthly, but daily. And this is from June 21st, year 21, so it's quite current. Now, that's a huge number to think of every day that someone, 500,000 are online, the predators trying to rope in, you know, kids. And I'll get to that in a minute. agents are asking parents to have conversation with your children. As crime statistics show, more than 50% of the victims are aged 12 to 15. Okay. 12 to 15-year-olds are the ones they target. And once they do that, they groom them. Okay. A lot of times kids, maybe they don't get enough attention at home. They're drawn in. They go into game rooms, these predators. That's what they do. They go where children go. And they have conversations with them. They friend them. Many times they lie about their ages. And, you know, we had a guest on, Bill. I'm sure you'll remember her. God, I wish we could get her back. But she was on some years ago now. And don't forget, I've been here 12 years. So anyway, she was here probably about 6 years ago, and she had been talking to someone online. She thought the person was her age. She was 17, and she made arrangements to meet this person on New Year's Day. Her parents were having a big party. She excused herself from the table and said she didn't want dessert, and she went out, and what she thought was going to be a 17-year-old turned out to be a 40-year-old. And I know Bill remembers this story, but others don't know it. Now, the guy pulled her into the vehicle and took her out of state. And he had this place in the back of his house all set up for her. It was like a torture chamber. And this guy was, of course, abusing her every day. And he wasn't giving her proper food and water and all kinds of stuff. It was just awful. Now, this guy was bragging to another pedophile about what he was doing and what he had done. The pedophile, not that he's a saint, don't get me wrong, but he contacted the FBI and turned his buddy in. Otherwise, only God knows what would have happened to that girl. I think she probably would have ended up dead. Probably. Who knows? Okay? So, you see, that's why the online thing is such a big deal, something for parents to understand. They have to get educated themselves. I have to get educated about the different rooms. I caught my granddaughter online. Now, Bill, remember this conversation because she was 11. She's 23 today, okay?
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. I can't believe little Lisa's that old. But anyway, she was online talking to a 40-year-old. That person told her the truth, unless they were really 60, I don't know, and a 17-year-old, but she was only 11. And I said to her, what are you doing talking to these people who are so much older than you, even the 17-year-old? So I made her get off of it, and I explained to her what I know about it. And I told her why you cannot, you know, talk to people who are much older, or even a teenager who's much older than you. It's not appropriate. It could cause you harm. But Nana, they sounded so nice. They sounded, yeah, sure they do. They say all the things you want to hear. This is a part of the grooming process. And that's how our guest at that time, who was 17 years old when this happened to her, disappeared and went through a horrible, horrific experience. So we as parents have to become much more savvy to what's going on in the game rooms and all these other things that the kids go into. And I just want you to know that there's also things that you can buy, you know, in stores that you can put on your computer that helps track, you know, what your children are doing online, and maybe even names the game rooms. There's one called the Dark Web, which no one should go into, okay, because they're filled with all kinds of bad people. So there are approximately 750,000 registered sex offenders in the United States. There are approximately 250,000 convicted sex offenders under criminal justice supervision. They have the ankle bracelets on. And also, too, they're just their parole officer is going to go over to their house quite a bit more often than normal. Over 50% of adolescents and teens have been bullied online. and about the same number have been cyberbullied, and that's what we're talking about. Only 10% tell their parents. See? More than 33% have experienced threats online. So you see, what we're talking about here are kids who have too much freedom, you might say, you know, to the computer. The parents don't realize what's going on the computer because they don't know any better. And then there are those that do know better, and they ask, you know, that we speak about it. I've had two people recently say, why don't you talk more about, you know, what happens online to kids? So I figured I'd take this night to explain this. It says here, if your child is targeted, you find out they're being targeted online, you do report online sexual exploitation, okay? And by doing so, you can do that on the cyber tip line. And I'm going to give you the telephone number. So if you know of anyone, or if your own child is being harassed this way, they're trying to pull a child in, the number is 1-800-843-5678. 1-800-843-5678. So you call that number, and they're operated by the Missing Exploited Children in partnership with the FBI. So they work together. You go into stores like Walmart, and I don't mind going to Walmart, but I always go over to the pictures on the wall of children who are missing. We don't know why that child is missing, okay? A lot of times it's family issues, and the mother or the father will take the child. It can be a lot of that. But also, too, is children that are kidnapped, And they're used, they're maybe put out on the streets, they pimp them out, they can take them across into other countries and all this other stuff. Or they can be like this monster maniac who had a garage that was set up for this girl with chains and keep her hostage. So these are things that we have to worry about and talk to our children, you know, learn that we have to be educated more ourselves in this line so that we can educate them and why it's not good to go into the game rooms. And that's a shame. Kids should be able to go into game rooms. But remember, they go there, and what do pedophiles do? They go there, too. Okay. All right, so that's that. I wanted to talk about that. And what does a child go through who has been kidnapped and raped? Okay, now that's another thing we're going to talk about. But before I go any further, is there any comment that anyone wants to say on what I've said so far?
Well, I have some identity with being a victim of trafficking. It wasn't a surprise to me in the sense that I wasn't scooped up off the street or anything, but it was sneaky and using a kind of a smooth approach to a 11-year-old kid, 10 and 11, you're pretty susceptible still. And, you know, so it was grooming, you know, but it was shocking when it happened. And I happened to be, he was very smart. He did what he did to me at first in a place where there was no help around. There was no parent around. There was no older brother around. I didn't have an older brother. There was nobody. And so, you know, you feel like you're thrown into the dungeon. For me, it wasn't a virtual dungeon. It was a actual, you know, space where I couldn't get out. But, you know, the point is that he knew what he was doing. I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't even know you could do these things, you know. So... Mm-hmm. Anyhow,
It's a horrifying, horrific thing, Bill and I know, and Michelle knows too, to be raped and to be kidnapped. Wait a minute, I'm going to look into this 317 area code number here and see if they want to speak or if they want to listen. 317 area code, would you like to just listen or would you like to be a part of the panel?
I'll be part of the panel. This is Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, girl?
Oh, hanging in there.
There you go.
Trying to, yeah, that's what we're all doing. But, you know, trying to educate people, especially during these times, see what people don't realize. We think about everything that's going on in our world today, and there's so, so much, and none of it's good, all right? Michelle was talking about that, a little bit about that last night when she told this story, and that was a horrific, horrific story, and she did a fine job. And I put that on our Facebook. But anyway, the point is this. A lot of times people, you know, they don't think about what can happen to their children. They're not thinking about their own children because they're watching all this stuff on TV, what's going on in our world around us. And then, of course, the daily things, the gas prices, getting food on the table and all this other stuff that we have to worry about as parents because this is how we're living now. This is not the time to not look at child abuse because many of the children that are coming across the border are put out on the street to be pimped. And then we have our own children in our country that are, you know, and that was always a horrific number. So you put those numbers together, and we have children that are being pimped out all the time. Now, if we have children who are being, you know, maybe not on purpose neglected by their parents, but the parents are all, you know, they're all upset about what's going on in our world today and not giving them maybe proper attention. These are the kids many times that will go onto the computer, and that makes them more susceptible, you know, to these freaks out there that want to lure the kid in. And what they do is they actually get them to meet them. Meet them. They'll fly.
Yeah.
I knew of a couple cases where a guy where a guy flew, you know, to meet a kid and, you know, to do all kinds of stuff and maybe even take that child back with him. And so this is what our kids are open up to today. They want to meet them. They groom them. They tell them they're great. The kids confide in them. They feel comfortable with them. They tell them, you know, what bothers them. They learn what type of music they like. The predators do. They learn the music they like. They talk about that. Hey, I'm going to fly out and meet you, and we'll talk more. That's all it takes.
And that's all it takes. It doesn't take much at all.
No, it
it's
doesn't.
Sad. It's really sad. And when you're a child victim, and the parents aren't aware that you've been a victim, it's even more sad because you get twisted.
Mm-hmm.
You get twisted.
You do.
And it's not fair. It's not fair to anyone involved.
No, it isn't. It's not fair.
And
it's not right.
I appreciate tonight's show because that's what we need to do. We need to educate.
Mm-hmm.
That's
something
I'm
really
proud
of. Yeah.
Yeah.
We appreciate you, Jerry.
We appreciate
and
you.
Great job. I listened to your show the other day while it was going on. I didn't
thank
want to
you.
Interrupt. You did a great job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've been practicing for some time getting my words together. It's a difficult subject, and I don't like to offend anyone in no means. I don't want to offend my mother in no means, but she has to know.
That's not
mothers
how we
need
do
to know
show,
today.
As you know, that's not how we do our shows. It's not the purpose.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons that it's semi-comfortable for a person like yourself to do for the first time. You know,
yes.
It's not scary as other formats might be. But anyway, I'm glad you're here tonight and called in because I needed to add you to our cheat sheet. Are you going to be calling in, I hope?
Yes. Yes, I'd like to.
Sure.
I won't always be able to show up. But I will attend as much as I can, that's for sure. I like meeting people and helping people become aware of things that are going on today is most important to me, especially on the Internet. The game shows, the gamers are in, they're into so much stuff and it's appalling.
Yeah, it is.
And you would not believe what my son ran into one time. He's a gamer. And he threw the guy off the platform. He manages a platform, a gaming platform, but he ran into a pedophile. And he was trying to attract the younger crowd, the younger kids. And my son caught it red-handed, and he says, you're off the platform. But yeah, it was... He had a character that was appealing to the very young crowd, the new gamers. And he was actually a 65-year-old man.
Oh, brother. Yeah.
And he caught him trying to lure a local kid into his state area and offered to pay a ticket, a flight, just like he was speaking up earlier, pay his flight to another state to meet up with him. And the kid was totally innocent in the whole thing. And when he caught this, he told me about it. And he says, Mom, I can't believe this. And I said, well, you're going to find those kind of guys in your game platform. Because that's what they do. And he put an extra security code in his platform for that reason.
That's good. Yeah.
I told him that you're going to have to get an extra security code plus an extra. He's got two different security codes now where the parents are aware and they have to sign in before the kid can play on his game platform now. So... He's more secure, but he's always on the lurk because he knows that was happening, you know, on his platform. So, yeah, and
let me say something to the listener because, you know, that would be good for a certain age group, let's say.
Yes.
But there are protections for older people, middle-aged people, and young people, and they're all important. But you got to change them. You got to change the rules for your kid as they're growing up, and you have to kind of be aware. I mean, the responsibility is on the parent now to be somewhat aware of what their children are doing and what they should have them avoid. You know?
Uh-huh.
And it's not easy. You got to be kind of at least you got to be currently interested yourself. You know. So anyway.
Well, you have to be aware of little tricks, and a lot of people aren't aware of gaming and how the children can cheat and get onto these platforms. And young rebellious children will get onto the platform, and they'll cheat to get in. They'll cheat the parental controls, is what Coleman found. And now he has two sets of security on his platform. So
that's good. Yeah.
He's aware of it, and most gamers just don't have that technology. But he's got his mom beside him. His mom knows better.
Mom Glenn.
His mom warned him. His mom warned him.
Jerry, there you go. That's what I said earlier. The FBI and others are actually asking their parents, but first they have to be educated, right?
Right.
Talk to their children, because so many kids are disappearing. And a lot of it has to do because of the computer, because that guy will fly out, like you were talking about and like I spoke about earlier. And sometimes it's women. It doesn't always have to be a guy, you know. 9%
right.
of women make up, the sex abusers, 9%. That's not a large percent, but it's still 9%, okay? So we have to be really, really, careful about that. So it says right here, which I have, consider, surveillance software. And that's good that you mentioned that, because it made me look at my notes that I have down here. And you can get it. Now, where would you say that people can obtain that type of software? Where would they go?
You can go straight to the FBI website. And also, your Federal Trade Commission does want to hear about any filings that you make. They talk between the FBI and the Federal Trade Commission, Consumers Bureau. They all talk. Because we have a nation of disappearing children.
That's right.
Then we don't know the answers yet. We don't know the whole solution yet. The FBI is very engaged in this, and they can go straight to the FBI website. And there is a technology there, and I don't know the direct link, but I do know this is where I found it before. If I might have a moment, I might be able to pull it back up. But
well, I have here, which might help you. It says predators use WhatsApp, okay?
Yes.
W-H-A-T-S.
Yes, the WhatsApp. The WhatsApp, mm-hmm. And they also use Instagram.
With children, right?
Yeah.
And then they establish, once they have them, they establish contact elsewhere, like chat rooms, video games rooms.
Yes.
Then move the conversation to a messaging platform. This is what you're talking about, a messaging platform such as WhatsApp.
WhatsApp. Yes, it's WhatsApp app. And they also have listed here Twitter, Instagram,
mm-hmm.
Your YouTube channels you need to watch, and Facebook has always been known to be needing some watch, okay? But they're a little bit more secure now than they used to be.
Yeah.
But go right up here. I'm trying to look for my resources here through the FBI website because I know it used to be here.
Yeah,
well,
true.
You just need to contact the FBI. They have an email address, and it might be that they've changed things on their website that I'm not familiar with yet. But the FBI has a email icon, and it says contact the FBI. Okay, and if you scroll down, you'll see they've got you can learn about common crimes and scams. You can learn about what kind of FBI investigations are going on in your local area. You can also get rap sheets.
Yep.
Yeah, and all that is directly linked to the Federal Bureau of Investigations because they're on this, like, big time. The nation's children are disappearing. And they're not going into the alleys anymore. They're just disappearing.
That's right.
They're being filtered out. We have pedophilia going on the game show platforms that is so disgusting. You wouldn't even begin to understand how they do this. They're filtered into foreign countries.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Snatching kids in broad daylight.
And they're pimping them out.
That's right.
Some countries, if there's a rich man in town, he'll have like 15 different women. And I don't want to go into any more detail because that could jeopardize the investigations that's going on. But I do know the contact, if you contact them through email with the FBI, they will be able to share with you every little software program they have. If you're a gaming platform manager where you manage a platform, they'll give you different securities software. Yes, it does cost you, but what price can you put on a child's life? So it's very important.
Children.
That, yeah, you can't put a price on a life like that. So they do cost a little bit sometimes, but for security's sake, if you run a network marketing system that is on a gaming co-host platform, you need something in that regard where you yourself as a manager can tap and say, investigate FBI now. even as a parent.
It's so important, Jerry, because let me tell you something. This is something that I look into all the time, too, and because it only makes sense. And you see, this is a sick world. I look back, and I don't want to sound corny or anything, but look back to the Leave It to Beaver time, okay?
Yeah.
They didn't have all this technology, all right? And
right.
I would love to, you know, look back and see. I mean, kids have always been kidnapped. Don't get me wrong. But on the other, you know, it's getting worse. All of the things that we speak about on NASCA is getting worse. You know, all of the abuses. And kidnapping should be one of them because that's getting worse and higher, too. And, again, it's because of the border system, but also, too, more than that, it's just plain happening because we have this technology. Now,
yeah.
I have given that, and I'm so glad you came on. I had given that number out before, the 1-800-843-5678 number. That's a cyber tip line, and
mm-hmm.
you would know that. So
mm-hmm.
people out there, if you think your child, and now I hear you can get the software through them, they'll tell you what to do. That's good.
Yes,
that I didn't
they
know.
Do.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's
if
you are a parent, they will give you a direction as to
mm-hmm.
what local areas you can do. There's local police officers today on hand for a parent in jeopardy, for a child in jeopardy. So each state has, that's why I don't want to give too much detail, but each state has their own investigative officer set aside for this kind of thing. So a parent themselves can get involved in that by contacting their local police. And if they get the runaround, just say, hey, look, okay, I'm calling the FBI. And by God, and they jump. They know right then and there you're serious, okay? They'll get you the information. You just have to be persistent with them. So if you're a parent out there listening, if you feel like your child's in jeopardy by any means, just go ahead and hit the FBI.gov website and look them up. Email them. They will get you the information, but most likely it's going to be a connection in your state because each state has their own individual laws, and they will get you the right application to safeguard your child. There's parental software out there, but for some reason, these people are getting through that. Okay, they're getting through that, and I don't know how. We don't know all the answers, not yet, because it's still happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It might be that parents just throw their hands up and I give up. I don't know what to do. But be persistent. There's no price you can ever put on a child's head, and there's no, you know, just because you're unknowing does not mean you can't learn.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a way. To get through it. The way to get through it is to be persistent in protecting your child.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw your hands up. If you don't get answers somewhere, go somewhere else and get the answers.
Mm-hmm.
There's parental guidance there. You just have to be persistent to find it in each state. Every state has a different law system. Every state has their own FBI agency. Okay, so it's a state-by-state issue. But when it comes down to the federal government, the FBI.gov website is very handy because they'll be able to help you find your state agency to contact. So that's my best advice I can give the parents today.
Well, it's very, very good advice. I have the same address up there for people who wanted to, you know, to do it that way. Or they can call them. And I don't know which is better. But you call them a lot of times, you put on hold. We all know this, how many times we call something, you put on hold, and you're waiting, and then finally you hang up. And you say
right, and that's when you're throwing your hands up. But you got to remember, throwing your hands up, you're taking your hands off the issue. Don't throw your hands up. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Don't give up with protecting your child. Make yourself persistent. don't just hang up. Don't do
it. Okay, let's move on a little bit here, because these kids that you're talking about, and like I'm talking about, we're all talking about it. When they get kidnapped, this is a horrific thing, what they go through. Of course, psychologically, a Journal of Psychology, that's one of the ones that I use. But if they are returned, now I was returned and so was Bill, okay? A lot of times they aren't returned and then they develop the Stockholm Syndrome. People say to me, well, what's that? You know? And what happens with the Stockholm Syndrome is that they understand, first of all, they're being groomed. They're being told, oh, your parents don't care about you. Your parents didn't really love you by these monsters. This is what they say to them. We care about you. And so therefore, you know, we'll take care of you. And the kids, after a while, they actually develop a fondness. They can develop a fondness for these people and have some sort of gratitude, because they're taught, if it wasn't for us, where would you be? See, they talk to them that way. I don't have to tell you that.
Yeah.
But this is how they talk to them. So that Stockholm Syndrome, they'll actually protect them because they don't want to be taken away. They don't feel safe, and they feel safer with these people. They're probably 9 times out of 10 maybe being sexually abused, okay, by the father, or maybe by the mother too. Who knows, you know? But they don't turn them in because this is where their food comes from. This is where their clothing comes from. As far as the school system is concerned, a lot of times they will have paperwork. They'll get it made up, however which way they do it. They change their names, and these kids are in school. And they don't even realize, and they're told their new names. If it's
yeah.
Kathy, all of a sudden, it's Jerry. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. You know,
yeah.
And they come to learn their new names, and they stay with these people. Now, that's what happened, wasn't it, with Elizabeth Smart? Look what happened to her. All right, the Amber Alert came to be by the return of Elizabeth Smart.
Mm-hmm.
She was with these people for so long, and she had disguised children. Remember the story? And so there's all kinds of horrific things that are going on in our world. And, yes, this is something that parents need to know much more about. So anyone who has information, like you gave us information, I have information, you have a lot of information, is important for parents to learn, because this is the world we live in. It's not the Leave It to Beaver time anymore. It's gone. Those days are gone. Okay? We have to get more in tune with what's going on today so we can protect our children. So that's why I said before, technology is wonderful, but it can also be damaging. It's dangerous. So what I started to talk a little bit about, and of course, Book and other people as well, you know, Michelle also, myself, what does a child go through who have been kidnapped and raped and returned? How do they feel? They feel shock, and yet they can also feel numbness.
They can feel guilt, too.
Yeah.
They feel guilty because they fell for it.
I just said that. Yep. Guilt, depression, anger, and a sense of helplessness. Now, this is just a little bit of what they feel. It says here, returned child may suffer loyalty conflicts, emotional detachment. Like, part of them might say in their brain, okay, I was kidnapped and raped. Why didn't my parents know I was in trouble? And they form a sort of like detachment, not only from parents, but from society, okay? I know that's how I was. I became actually quite inward. At the age of 9, I became very, very inward and frightened. And that's when my panic attacks developed, okay? It was at the age of 9. And I had them until 49. 9 to 49. Okay.
I don't mean to interrupt, but
no,
I just found the link. It's called ECAP. It's on the called Endangerment Child Alert Program. It's what the FBI ran, and they've been running this since February 21st of 2004. That's the connection parents need to know about on the FBI website. It's a collaborative effort between the FBI and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. The ECAP seeks national and international exposure of adults, of unknown adults referred to as John Does, whose faces and distinguishing characters such as a birthmark, invisible, they do imaging, can't even speak tonight. They do pornographic images. They search out face imaging is what they call it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what a parent needs to be aware of. And if they have a missing child, they need to be in touch with the FBI's ECAP.
Okay.
It's the Endangered Child Alert Program. And they'll take pictures of your child and make sure, and they'll put it in their imaging software. And many times these children are pimped out for pornographic movies.
Right.
And I can say that because it's very aware here. I can tell you legally that's what it is. They'll put that child's picture in their database, and they'll watch for that child's image to come in.
Well, there's just so much.
There's
a lot of
information.
I'm glad you gave us that. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that out, too, because it gives parents more things to work with. You know, when they do call and contact the FBI, they can ask for that program and go from there. So this is good. We have to get this information. When we read our mission statement, we're talking about protecting children, okay? Yes. We work with adults, you know, who haven't gotten on a healing journey yet, as we call it. But then also, too, we're helping to protect children. So when we have subject matter like tonight that we have, this is for people to write this information down, to understand
Absolutely.
It, you know, to learn it, and to use it, God forbid, if they need it, okay? Like with my granddaughter, I suppose that night I could have made a phone call, but I didn't know to make a phone call, all right? But I got her offline, and she never went back on again. I told her some nasty things that could happen. She was 11, and Bill spoke to her. And, she never went back there again. So,
yeah.
You see, if we talk to our children and explain to them, children are not stupid.
No.
Okay, unfortunately, parents don't give them, you know, they don't realize that children have minds like sponges and they do want to learn and they do want their parents to guide them. So, you know, that's bonding. That's a very good thing to do, is to bond with your child. So if these kids, if you give them information that's appropriate and what they can absorb and so forth and so on, they'll say, oh, no. Just like your son was doing, I got to get off this. I've got to turn this guy in. I'll tell my mom and all this other stuff. He knew what to do. Okay,
yep.
And then that person was thrown off the program and got into trouble. So this is important information, and I like nothing better, okay, than to be running a show like tonight, giving people information, and someone has even more to add to it, because this is how we learn.
Yes.
This is how we learn.
Well,
so I really
many
appreciate you giving us that.
Many people aren't aware of things that are going on within our governmental agencies today. And to get that information out, sometimes it impedes investigations, if that makes any sense. That it's just they watch the FBI too, the people that are doing the harm. They watch the FBI too. They don't want to be caught.
Of course they do. Yeah.
So
they
want to
know how far along they are. Yes.
Right. They watch too. So that's the only thing that I might say is if I say something and I go, oh, I can't say that. That's just because of that reason. I don't want to impede any investigation going on.
Yeah,
you know, because I, yeah.
But, I'm gonna go through the panel because there might be people who want to make comments, or maybe even ask you a question. Okay.
Okay.
And then I get more into the emotional after that of what happens to kids when they have been kidnapped and raped, because that's very important also.
Yes.
Parents have to be, you know, more in tune with that and realize that there's a need, that children need to have their parents more than ever, okay,
mm-hmm.
their attention. Okay, let me go to Michelle. She's up at the top here. Michelle, are there any questions you have or you want to make a comment?
I don't have a question. I just want to make a comment. You know, mm-hmm. me being a survivor of sexual child abuse as a child and teenager, I have experienced being kidnapped and held against my will, you know, as an adult woman. And also, I was in human trafficking. So, and the next comment I want to make is that as far as our children is concerned, the pedophiles and the human traffickers don't get so bold that, they are snatching them in broad daylight. It's not even sophisticated anymore. What's sophisticated is hard to track these kids. But what's not sophisticated is how they're snatched. And the majority of them are snatched in broad daylight. You know, and if parents don't really talk to their children, you know, it's going to get worse. If parents keep letting their kids have time on their hand, on the computer. I mean, the technology, you know, back in our day, it wasn't such all that, you know, internet and all that stuff. And now that it's happening, the parents give so much freedom to the children, you know. You have to really monitor what they're doing and who's talking to them on the internet. You got these pedophiles talking like their kids, to lure them in. If you don't screen what's going on the internet, you're going to look up and see that your child is gone. And a lot of children are being snatched because of being lured from the internet. And that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Well, that's completely right. And, you know, it can happen right from their own backyards. See, people
mm-hmm.
think that the kid, you know, is maybe two blocks away. Yes, of course they get kidnapped two blocks away. But if you live in an area where the houses, you know, like our cities, like a city block, okay, and you have a little bit
mm-hmm.
of backyard if you're lucky. But, you know, these pedophiles, they go up and down, these predators, they go up and down the streets. I caught this guy one night going up and down
mm-hmm.
the street, and he's looking in the yards because it would be so easy for him just to pull over on the right side and just snatch a kid. It can happen right
mm-hmm.
in the front yard. It can happen in the backyard.
And
that's right. especially if he's not alone, say he has a partner, it makes it even easier because he's got someone to help him. Well, I was out walking at 1 o'clock in the morning. You know how I am. I'm so bad. Of course, I had a blade on me. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is this. I was in a rough area, and this car kept going up and down, up and down, up and down the street. And he's looking at me. Okay, now part of me wanted to tip my finger and thumb my nose at him. I was getting mad. And finally I went and I stood up against a pole, and I was waiting for him to come around again. And he stopped his car and looked at me, and I looked back at him. We eyeballed each other. I wasn't going to run. I'm looking at him, and of course, I'm not going to tell you what was going through my brain, but you can imagine. And then he took off. He realized I wasn't 14. I wasn't 16. I'm a little bit older than that, honey bunny. Oh, yes. But the point is he took off. Now, these people are out all night long, you know, a lot of them. And they're roaming the streets, and they're looking for kids who are runaways. They're looking for kids who are out in their yards, walking the streets. Like I was at 1 o'clock in the morning, not a kid, but walking the street. I was going up and down. I used to walk around the block to get exercise. That would be good for me or whatever. So, but the point is that they're out there all hours of the day. And, yes, Michelle, they could be out there in the daytime too, and snatch a child right from the street. That can happen. I read articles
absolutely.
On that. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I see it all the time. I do a search, you know, throughout the United States, and I'm telling you, you would see here in the news, kids were, or teenagers were snatched in broad daylight from schools, mm-hmm. from restaurants, from businesses, out of malls, you know, because that's where the pedophiles be. They look and they watch, and when they get that opportunity, they will grab them. In the blink of an eye, the kids are gone.
That's what you said more. I'm glad you said that word. That's mm-hmm. why I keep saying, I don't know how many times in a month's time, say, I'll talk about the malls. Where do kids go? They go to the malls. They get their driver's licenses, and they go to the malls, and they hang out there. Of course, pedophiles know this. So I think that, you know, there has to be, like, a system in the family. You know, when you get to the mall, you call and let us know when you get to the mall. You walk around the mall, you're allowed 3 hours. Give them a time limit. You can go to the mall for 3 hours, okay? Maybe that's being generous. Go to the mall for 3 hours and look at clothing, all the things that kids look at, whatever, jewelry, whatever. And then it's time for you to come home. And when you leave the mall, I want you to call and you come home, okay? Maybe you're dropping people off, whatever, so there's only one or two cars involved, whatever. You drop the kids off, but you keep in touch 2 to 3 times during this time frame. This time, God, you know, if something happens, God forbid, the parents can say, well, I spoke to Susie at 2 p.m., spoke to Susie again at 4 p.m., and again at 5, but now I don't know where Susie. At least the police have something to work with. And then also, too, if Susie doesn't call, Mama calls Susie, all right? And say, hey, where are you? You're supposed to call me, all right? And maybe Susie isn't able to call her. Then Mom knows that there's a problem, a big one. And she has a location. She has something to give the police. So, you see, we have to be much more in tune with how to keep our children safer. And the mall is definitely a big place where kids go. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I had some of my friends that said to me, you know, I'm going to say this real quick. My grandson is his last year in high school. And so on the weekend, you know, he wants to meet his friends there. You know, some of them have cars or whatever. And he meet at this particular mall. It's only one way in and out. And that's what I like about this mall. So I plant my car directly right there in front of that door. And I drop them off, and they've been there for hours. I don't give them no time limit because I'm sitting out in that parking lot right in front of that door. So he's going to have to come out, you know what I'm saying? And so if I was to see someone around him or next to him, you know, holding him, I know that's danger. You know, a lot of them say, well, he's a boy. They, you know, most men look for women or look for girls. No, they look for boys too.
Mm-hmm.
They got lots of boys in human trafficking. So, if I'm a little protected, oh, well, that's the way it's going to be. I'm overprotected. I guess from experience of what we went through, you know what I'm saying? Of course I'm overprotected of my grandson, and I'm going to continue to be that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might also add here, we need to not allow our children to go into people's homes. We don't know what's going on in other people's homes. The gaming and all that. My youngest boy got involved in gaming when he was very young, and I was not aware of the danger. He was going into a friend's home, and they were going on a platform that I was not aware of, and it's a pornographic platform. And the child's parents didn't care. In fact, they even played the games with the kids. So it's just something we can't allow our children to go into other children's homes anymore. It's just dangerous. We don't have any safeguards set in somebody else's house. that we do have.
Everyone that my dad's going to be around, I know who they are. I know who the parents are. I know the house. If the parents ain't right, my grandson is not going to be around the kid that's in that house. I don't allow him to do that. He's been gaming forever, and I scream, and I got parental stuff locked all on the thing, and I scream, and I don't talk to him so well. I'm going to give you an example. When he was 13, he came in and got me, and he was like, "Nana, it's just my friends that I've been playing with for years." "Yes, I do, since he was six." He said, "Well, it's a new kid on here." So he said, "But, he, when I asked him how old he is, he just sound older than me." I said, "Okay, well, are you, he said, "No, I got it on pause. He's in here with me and my friends." So I came in his room, and I got on there. And at first I waited. I wanted to hear this so-called kid, He wasn't a kid. He was an adult. I said, "Yeah." I said, "How old are you again?" "I'm 14. You're not 14. But continue to sit here because I'm a police officer. I work with the police. I kind of lie. I'm a police officer, so I'm recording everything right now. So just stay on because in a minute I'm going to find out where you're at." And he signed off and never came back on again.
Yeah, good.
He never
good.
Came back on again. Yeah.
Yeah, with organizations in school, the coaches will have their team over. Okay, that's dangerous. Girl Scout groups can be dangerous. Boy Scout groups
absolutely.
Can be. I mean, we have to watch, and we can't just allow our kids to go home with a friend at school any longer.
That's right.
It's just not safe
at all.
So parents need to be aware.
Too. Jerry, this is one thing I want to get across before we run out of time or whatever. I wrote an article that went into the newspaper when I lived in Peaburg. That's Fallsburg, all right, whatever. But the point is this, in the summertime, and summertime is coming, believe it or not. It's about 40
yeah.
degrees here right now, all right? But the point, I know. So the point is that we don't do enough, background checks on the volunteers.
Right.
How they have the coaches. You're talking about the coaches, all right? And that can be bad enough. Yes, we all know the coaches
yeah.
can be bad. But then you have the volunteers, and they're there, in the summertime, the guys are playing football. They're getting ready for, fall to come, and things like this. So they're doing their team workout on the field. And so then the volunteers come around. They're going to help, whatever. What has been done with these volunteers? Nothing.
Right.
Okay. No.
They don't
background check
the volunteers.
No.
And see, we've learned through our church organization that we do background checks on all teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And they have to have two teachers per class.
Mm-hmm.
It's just imperative that we do more background checks, even on our volunteers, which is what I'm pushing. For a group that I'm with right now, because it's imperative. We don't know. Yes, we need workers, but we need people to be safe workers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And
if that background check isn't done, you have no information on that person. And their eyes are on the field, and they're looking for their prey, P-R-E-Y. Okay.
Yep.
And you just have to be so careful. So, again, we're not living in the 50s or 60s anymore. Okay. I can't say the 70s. Things started to change in the 70s and the 80s and up to now. But in the old days, people, I'm not saying the perverts weren't out there. Of course they weren't. Again, my abuse started when I was six. So, and then again at 9 and 8 and oh my God, oh no, it was ridiculous. But anyway, the point is they've always been out there. But I think today either we're becoming more aware that they're out there And I think that NASCA has a lot to do with that and other programs like NASCA, because quite frankly, we have big mouths, especially me, okay? And maybe you, or maybe Michelle. You know, we get out there and we let people know where it's at, and we talk about it. And we have guys that are coming to the shows now, too, and telling their stories, which is great, because they feel just as badly as we do, okay, when we're little girls and mm-hmm. abused. All right? So a long time ago, you didn't hear any of this stuff. People didn't talk about it. It was shoved under the rug. Doesn't mean
right.
that a lot of things weren't happening. But today,
right.
with the modern technology, it's more happening, only in a different way, along with the old way. So it's
mm-hmm.
twofold. So, you know, it's something that has to be taught to people. People have to be much more, you know, in tune with their children. And they have to be vigilant. They have to know, and they have to be educated so that they can keep their children safer, because this is the world that we live in. That's right.
No, we can't sit aside on the sidelines no more.
No more sideline people. They should go. You know what? People that have information about, say, kids on the block that are being abused, they should be charged also. Because if you have information about a kid being abused, then you're equally as guilty as the abuser. And I know down in Florida they tried that. I don't know, Bill, if that went through or not, that law. But that should be every state of the union, okay? If you know that someone's being abused and you keep your mouth shut, then there's something wrong with you too, okay? And you should either be fined very heavily or do a little bit of time or both, because maybe you could have saved a life. All right? So that makes you, you know, guilty.
I will say to that,
mm-hmm.
our governmental agency, the Department of Family Children,
mm-hmm.
have been also subject to that, where caseworkers are ignoring abuse in children. And that to me just breaks my heart, because they were formed to protect children. But yet they witness it and they walk away. And I agree with the fines. I think somebody should, in that kind of capacity, should be fined for not doing their job. I agree with that.
Well,
we're trying to make laws.
That's where they feel it the most, isn't it? And they're possible.
Yeah.
That's where they feel it the most. Let me tell you.
Yeah, they don't get their mm-hmm. bonus if they don't place that child with the parent, even though the child's parent is doing the abuse. And it's a long scam, is what it is, and it's sad.
A lot of it is.
Yeah.
I have to tell you this because you understand what I'm talking about here. I decided I was going to work with DIFAS at one point. This is years ago, before I got into other fields of social services. And I had to go down to East Orange, and you don't know probably where East Orange is, but it's a rough area around here. And I went into this classroom, and I thought that I was going to give them tests. You know, I was going to probably have to take a test or something to, you know, see where I'm at education-wise and also how I would handle situations and so forth. A test, something, for God's sake, right? I sat down, and the only thing that was put in front of me, and there's about maybe 25 people in there, was a paper that wanted my name, my address, a little bit about my education, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I walked up to the lady who was running this, and I said, excuse me, am I in the right room? There's no questions here about how would you handle situations, what would you do, who would you contact, or if you see something, how would you handle that situation, blah, blah, the things that you'd expect to be on there. And she said, no, we just want to know your name and your address and your telephone number. I said, oh, you're going to call me back when you want to maybe interview me to see if I'm right for DIFAS? I mean, that's what I should think, right?
Yeah.
And she says, no, we don't even need that. I said, well, what is this? I felt like I was at a zoo. I walked
out.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the training? See, that's the problem. Where is the training?
We're not there yet.
No, we're not.
We're
and
not there yet.
If you don't get enough information, if you don't get enough information, it used to be at one point, and they didn't go through with this, Sherry, okay? If you wanted to be a part of DIFAS or any of the other, like CPS or any of the other ones, they would go to your neighbors and people that they thought might know you, maybe even a few houses down, and ask questions about your character. They don't do that anymore, okay? Now, that can work for you or can work against you, but the point is they tried to get information on you to see what type of person you were to work with DIFAS. How did the neighborhood feel about you? Would you be the type of person that would step in if you saw something happening? And when I lived in Dover, I was very much that type of person that would step in. And when I left Dover, the chief of police called me. He said, "We're so sorry you're leaving." Because this is when we have this heart, when we're survivors, okay? When we're survivors, and we don't want children to go through what we went through, and we see a child who's being abused physically, emotionally, mentally, sexually, whatever we might know on it, okay? We don't just stand still. We shouldn't anyway.
Right.
Many do, but there are those that don't, and I thank God for them. Because, you see, we're the ones that are going to make that difference. And even though things are not perfect, Jerry, more things are being done today than, say, 20 years ago, for God's sake, all right? And so we can, you know, feel good about that. We know that, and even being a part of NASCA, I know that I'm helping. We're all helping, okay? We're all helping by doing what we do.
And well, as long as we network,
hmm?
It's a network we're building, and that's what's so important, a network against it, against abuse, and abuse of all kinds, of all types, and it's going to get tedious, but we need to build a solid network toward individual departments, and that's going to get tedious, but we're doing it. We're getting there. We're going to be there someday. There's so much education out there that needs to be done.
Yeah, exactly.
Toward individual cases and learn, and we need to learn where we're falling short, you know, because we are falling short. That's how come we're having such a tragic numbers today. We're falling short somewhere. And we're going to find it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're going to find it. We're going to network.
So you just said, you said what the problem was about 5 minutes ago.
Yep.
You were involved with an organization, and you knew that the people were turning and walking away and sending them back home, like to where they were being abused, or they knew they were being abused, or whatever the case might be. And as long as you have people that work in organizations that have that mentality, where they don't care enough about what's happening to the child. You take the kid into court. We've done that. We do that. I've done that. And the judge decides by what we have to say where the child belongs. Does the child belong in foster care? Does the child, should the child go back home? Or should the child actually benefit maybe a little bit of going back to detention? Because I used to work there. And they would go by what we had to say. All right? And hopefully they make the right choice. But we know that with DIFAS, I hate to say this, CPS and some of the other ones, many times people don't care that much. So then kids are sent back home maybe where all abuse is coming. Some end up dead. Some of them end up paralyzed. Others end up out on the street and in all kinds of trouble. I could write another book just on all the stuff that I've learned over the years.
Yeah.
Working from one place to another to another to another. Because I would go where the money was because I had two kids to take care of, okay?
Right.
But I learned a lot at each place, okay? And I didn't like what I learned.
No, I did. I've monitored the family court before, and it's devastating, the cases that I've heard. And they pay a bonus for those caseworkers. And it affects their job. And just like we get aggravated at sitting on the phone for a half hour waiting on some help services, they get aggravated because they're only doing their job. But if they really did their job, they wouldn't have that bonus.
That's right. That's right. I had to make a couple of phone calls. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's just they throw their hands up too. Well, I gotta get paid. Okay.
Well,
and you can't
okay
put a price
paid,
on a child.
But it's better to go to sleep with a good conscience. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
And if that means you have to make a couple of phone calls and then leave that organization because you made that phone call, well, then you find another job and you did your job.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
So you have to have people who really care about children, who care about society, who care about the communities to be able to be effective in the communities and also to make life easier for a lot of people and better and enrich other people's lives by giving them what we can give them. You know, emotionally, the emotional support, and also to hook them up with people who can maybe help them more financially so that there aren't so many people that are on food stamps and going to the garages where they have the canned goods and stuff, you know, the food pantries, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's one thing at a time and one step at a time, okay? That's what it is.
Yeah.
But if we all do something, those of us who have worked in the field, who know what to do and we do the right thing, then we've done our part. We can't
right.
take the world on our shoulders, Jerry. But
right.
what we can do is what we can do.
Right.
Okay.
And we're just not there yet. And
no.
building a network is going to be very, very beneficial. And I think that's what you're starting to do here. And you've been doing it very successfully to grow into what you have right now. I appreciate what I found. To help in facilitating a network, that's something that is very vital, and you're doing a good job there.
Well, thank you.
I thank Bill Meyer for that. Murray
yes.
for that. I really do.
Yes.
We're just going to get there.
Okay, we're going to get there one step at a time. I just want
to right.
bring to the attention of the people that May is Mental Health Month, okay?
Yes.
So 20 to 40% of people with psychiatric disorders have a history of childhood sexual trauma.
Absolutely.
Those are newer stats. Yeah, newer stats. And
yep.
Then emotional pain of childhood sexual trauma lasts long after the abuse has ended. We know this. Mental health issues, brain health. I have all kinds of stuff on the brain, what it does to the brain. And cognitive function. And you can get a lot of this information right in the Journal of Psychology. If you just type that into your browser, Journal of Psychology. It talks about, you know, what people go through. They go to those of us who have been, you know, all kinds of abuse. The anxiety, the depression, the eating disorders, the PTSD, the panic disorder, substance abuse, schizophrenia, DID, antisocial personality disorders, absolutely, sleep disorders, self-harm, and suicidal behavior. Gee, look what it does to us. Yeah.
This
is why we fight so hard. Yeah.
And a lot of that is tied to diet and nutrition, too. You can actually beat mental illness through diet and nutrition and supplements and exercise. That's been proven. But the main part of your recovery will be in building a timeline, discovering yourself. Discovering your past, rediscovering yourself. And I didn't really explain that the other night very well. And I don't want to run out of time here. So we'll just say that I can discuss that in a little bit on a later show. But, yeah, you can actually recover. The first key is to forgive yourself for allowing it to happen to you. And forgiveness is the key. it's a long subject. And
it's a biggie, honey. And you and I would go around the table on that one.
Yeah.
Have fun with you.
Well, I'm actually a witness to it. I've proven it, and it's a fact. Our dietary needs, we've been lied to all these years. It's beneficial to have a proper diet. And a lot of times in homes today, we don't have that. We don't. We're caffeine, sugars, pops, all that can destroy a body. It destroys the brain. It dysfunctions your brain, your thought, your state of thought. And
well, the minute we get off,
important.
Honey, I'm going to go have myself a great big cup of coffee. Uh-huh.
Make sure it's decaf, okay?
No, I'm not going to have decaf. I want something that will make me feel good, okay? That's just the way it is. And, I know what you're saying, the sugars and everything. And I eat far too much sugar. I'm a sugar freak. I'm a sugar addict. And see, alcoholics, many times, I'm an alcoholic, drug addict. And I haven't had a drink since 1981. And I refuse to give into it. Yes, I refuse to give into it. But you see, then you need something to replace it. And a lot of times the way the body metabolizes things, you know, like alcohol has a lot of sugar in it. People don't realize it, some more than others. And so when you take that sugar away, that's why they make fun of, you know, like AA, okay, Bill's sitting right there. You know, oh, we're going to go have our coffee and donuts, okay? You know, after the after the meeting.
Well, concentrate on healthy habits, honey. That's what I'm teaching is healthy habits. And I'm telling you, that is the biggest battle that people have when it comes to abuse. Improper habits that you don't even realize it. It's hard to find decaffeinated. Yeah, it's hard to find, but
we only have about 5 minutes left. So I want to give Bill, who's here, a chance to say something. Yeah. Bill, did you fall asleep? We put him to sleep. We bored him, huh?
I went in the kitchen to say hi to Christina, who just got home. Sorry.
He probably went into the kitchen and had a cup of coffee. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I didn't.
I'm teasing. I'm going to have one. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go ahead to because, as you know, I was in the kitchen.
Okay. So, all right. Well, listen. No, we were doing a lot of chit-chat about organizations that she's worked at and, of course, knows about, and I do too. The failing of it, okay? That's why a lot of times these organizations, you know, don't help family structure and so forth. And a lot of it has to do with training and also the what people think, the individual worker, okay?
Mm-hmm. It changes over time for them. Most people that want to go into social services have a heart for it at first, certainly, or they wouldn't have chosen the route, you know. But it doesn't take too long before bad experiences and being taken for granted and other things, the kids' behavior, the parents' behavior, you know, society's opinion of social workers, you know, versus I don't know, a dentist, you know. They don't have very high esteem out in the community, so that damages their own esteem. And it's similar to, police officers go through the same thing. When you get trained and you're all over, you get your uniform and you get assigned, for the first 3, 4, 5 years, you ride that energy. You know, but after that, you start to get disgruntled.
Yeah.
You know, you get disappointed. And you thought that this path, whether it's social services or whatever, was going to be rewarding because of the type of work that it was, no matter what you were doing, the type of work. And here you have a lot of failure. Failure in the sense that you would like to be able to see whatever you're doing have an effect on a lot of kids. You don't. What you see is whatever you're able to do having a little bit of help on a couple of kids, really. They don't come to social services eager for the social service to tell them what to do. That's not how they come. You know, a lot of them come disgruntled because they were made to come by a school or the juvenile system or whatever. And, you know, they got a chip on their shoulder, too. So,
right.
It's not an easy job, is what I'm saying.
It's like you seem like
it's going to be a good path for you because of this type of person you are. Most of the people that go into it are genuinely givers, you know. But you can lose that very quickly, depending on your experience.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, police officers, they wanted me to become a police officer when I worked at detention because we had police officers there. Kids committed adult crimes, Jerry, okay? And now I was watching these police officers, and we all had to dress in police officer uniforms because we took kids into court. It was a different type of facility. The only thing I didn't have was a gun on me. So, but anyway, the point is that a lot of them go in and they want to do good, they want to be good, and they want to make a difference. You know, they get all pumped up and all this other stuff. And then they have the other officers that can pull them down, okay? And then they have to find their own ground to walk on so that they feel like they belong. It's not easy being a cop.
No.
No, it's not.
I would not imagine so.
No. And so I often thought that if I had become a police officer and gone back with them, that's what they wanted me to do, I don't know how I would have made out because I have a temper. These guys know it. And, you know, like if someone told me to do something I didn't think I should do and I'm trying to be a cop and they got in my way and, you know, I don't know how I'd handle it. So I thought, no, I don't think I'll do that. And then I didn't want my children to be brought up by my mother because I knew what she did to me. So combination
right.
of things, you know, I thought, no, I'll stay middle ground on that. But anyway, we had an interesting show tonight, and I'm glad you called in because I have a lot of information here, and you filled in parts that I didn't have, okay? So, again, people, I'll just give out that telephone number if I can find it. God, I've got so many things here. Oh, yeah. The cyber tip line on call, okay?
Yes.
That's the 1-800-843-5678. So if you know if your child is in trouble and they're being coerced over the phone, they have perverts over there trying to make them do things and so forth, you call that number, 1-800-843-5678, and let them know what's going on, and they will guide you. And like Jerry said, you know, sometimes you might have to wait 20 minutes, 25 minutes, but it's your kid, all right? It's your child. And it's the 25 minutes you might wait, you know, before you get answers or even get someone who can talk to you right away. Remember, they're busy, too.
Just be persistent.
Yeah.
Just
be persistent.
Never give up on your child's safety. That's
okay,
what I like to tell people.
Yeah. So, Michelle, thank you so much for what you had to offer tonight. And Bill, Jerry said she thanks you a lot for an awful lot of things. You should have listened.
I heard past that point. I did.
I got him going.
Christina yeah. came up to walk. I heard that point. I appreciate it. But, you know, we're going to do more of these shows, Jerry, by the way. We decided that this is a good way to substitute, frankly, for the fact that we are having a little trouble getting guests. And as you know, because you came on sort of last minute for me last week. But
yes.
When that happens, we don't want it to be a completely empty show. And I think shows like the one we just did are pretty informative and pretty, you know, energetic, and they're appealing. So I think we don't know it, unfortunately, until, you know, kind of the last minute or a day or two before. But I'm going to post more of these shows on the front page of the website and on this on the current schedule for the shows.
Well, we need to build build a network of systems towards each individual cause of abuse. And and that's what I think that you're willing to do, and I appreciate that because that's what I want to do. And to facilitate that, it's going to take many facilitators with good character. And I appreciate
that. Leaves us out, Carol.
I'm sorry, Bill. You don't fit in. I'm sorry.
But anyway, listen, you know, the show is over. So
okay.
I don't want to get thrown off or anything. But, you know, thank you, everyone that, you know, called in. And, Jerry, come on anytime. You have a lot of information. That's good. And, you know, we can use that. And that just, you should see all the things I'm writing here. Oh, my goodness. So this is great, you know, and we have to educate.
Yes.
So everyone, good night. God bless to you. Put a helmet on. That's what I keep saying. We don't know when you walk out the door, man. You better put a helmet on or something. I don't know. This is the world we live in today. Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, we will be back. Yes, we will be back on Monday, I say. Okay, so good night now.
Good night.
Good night. God bless.
Good show. Good show.
Blog Talk Radio.